This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
Joining us in studio this morning, we have Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. How are both of y'all doing today?
Good morning.
That's one of those wet, rainy days out there.
It is.
Do traffic accidents increase by high numbers on days like this? Do you see like double figures?
You typically see an increase, especially if rain hadn't occurred for a while. And it's kind of just a one-day type event. You'll see it pick up. But when there's sustained rain or dampness out there, you typically see just a slight increase.
I guess most drivers need to slow down on days like
right,
this.
Right, right. It really gets bad when it's been dry for a long time, and then all of a sudden it rains, and it's just out of the blue, and then you see a pickup in those situations.
Around the city, when it comes to motor vehicle accidents and motor vehicle incidents, is speeding a big problem here?
Absolutely. We have our share of issues with traffic, and one of the things that Larry's been doing recently is trying to push out messaging for traffic safety. We're trying to do it through education and enforcement, but we do get quite a few complaints in various areas of the city about speeding. I know we've discussed it before. If you've got any new listeners out there that haven't heard us talk about this before, we do have the ability to track complaints, and you can go online, select the tab, report your complaint. It's always great if you can give us a specific location, the time of day, you know, what you're seeing, and we can have somebody respond back to you, and they will assign necessary resources. A lot of times you might not see anybody immediately because we have the ability to go into areas and measure speed with devices that aren't visible to the public just to get a true reading on what's going on, and then we can dedicate resources from there.
Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen. And by the way, if anybody has any questions, feel free to text those in throughout the show. Our number to text in is 615-893-1450. Again, 615-893-1450. When somebody sends you a message saying, you know, there's a problem on, let's say, Kaysen Lane with people speeding, and I would like something to be done about it, what usually is that first step?
So our typical process is once the complaint's reported, Lieutenant Greg Walker, who oversees our traffic division or traffic section, will evaluate the complaint. Typically, he'll provide a response in a pretty quick amount of time to the person making the complaint, just let them know what we're doing and they're not being ignored. And then there's different things. If it's a place where we have multiple complaints and we know there's a problem, we just reemphasize putting resources in those particular areas. Sometimes you'll get a new complaint and we can attach cameras in certain areas and we can monitor the speed, and it'll tell us the percentage of cars that are speeding, the percentage of cars that are going at the speed limit, the times, things like that, to where we can have a better idea of what's going on. But it's definitely better for us if we know where to put our resources versus just taking random shots out there as far as locations. And we also look at traffic crash data, and we try to assign enforcement in areas where we're seeing high incidents of accidents. So,
you know, one of those rumors that we hear from time to time, especially when we're driving through smaller towns, is that police departments have a quota in the amount of tickets they have to write for speeding. Is there any truth to that?
Absolutely. There's not a quota system. And it's like any type of argument. You've got a group of citizens who are saying, hey, we're concerned about traffic safety. We want our neighborhoods to be safe. We want our streets to be safe. Please do enforcement. And then there's a whole other train of thought. Well, it's quotas and you're trying to earn money. And that's not the case. It's focused on traffic safety. Like I said, there's a lot of legitimate complaints and concerns out there that we're trying to address. So
it's always interesting when you hear those tales of, you know, I was traveling through city XYZ I know they had a quota to reach. It was the end of the month and I got pulled over for speeding.
Yeah. And I can't speak for other agencies. I can speak for the Murfreesboro Police Department, and that's not the case at all. Like I said, we try to focus on areas where there are complaints and documentation to back up what we're doing.
While we're speaking of traffic and traffic-related issues, there was a train versus a car accident last night on West Main Street, I believe around 10 o'clock or so.
Yes, Scott. Murfreesboro Police responded to that train track crossing at West Main near that CXX depot. It's around 9:51 after a train hit a car. A car was actually stranded on the tracks. I believe the initial investigation revealed it was a flat tire. And both the occupants, a male and a female, were able to get out. And they actually were the ones to call 911 and say, hey, the car is stranded on the tracks. One of our dispatchers reached out to CSX to notify them that there's a car on the track. But of course, you know, it takes quite a while before a train can stop. And we were not able to get to them in time. And so that train hit the car. The good news is the man and the woman were able to get out. No injuries, significant damage to the car. And CSX will be conducting their own investigation as well.
I can't imagine of a more scary experience to be driving over a train track and then all of a sudden you get a flat tire on the track and you can't move the car off of the track. That had to be pretty frightening.
I'm sure it was, you know, for both of those involved. I guess their main concern was to get out of that vehicle. They were able to get out in significant time. Took the time to call 911, but was not able to move that vehicle off in time. So, again, significant damage, but the good news is they're okay.
For those who may be new to Murfreesboro, the railroad tracks that go through town, those are heavily used by freight trains, and it seems like at times there's a train that passes about every hour. I know a number of years ago, I believe it was the police department that tried to get the trains to reduce their speed going through town, because I believe they travel at up to 50 miles an hour through town. What happened in the past? Do you recall police or any other group trying to get the speed limit lowered for the trains?
Seems like I vaguely remember something in the past, but it's been a while, and I really wasn't a part of that conversation. But it's been some time.
And I know there's been a lot of pedestrians killed on that railroad track and really the stretch between West Main to South Church, that direction under that bridge. There's been quite a few fatal accidents involving pedestrians on the railroad tracks.
That's correct. I can recall a few in past years. And all those offer different circumstances, from people just not being aware to people intentionally placing themselves in that position. So the circumstances always vary when you look at those incidents, especially if you look past over the past, if you look past over my career. Yeah, it's always different stories to a lot of these. And unfortunately, in this case that Larry was just discussing, that the individuals were able to get out and basically just have property damage, and no one was injured in that particular case.
Yeah, scary. And we do have several text messages to get to here.
Yeah.
One person is asking, how many canine officers do the Murfreesboro Police Department actually have?
Seven or eight.
With the new one?
Yeah, with the new one. Yeah. It's less than 10. It's around seven or eight. And the reason I'm kind of iffy, we're retired one and we have picked up another. So, yeah.
Here's another question.
Yeah.
Is it true that officers do not carry handguns anymore? I've never heard that before.
That's new to me.
I don't know of any police department where they would do that unless you're maybe in the UK somewhere. Never heard that. Then another one asking about body cams and how those body cams are doing now that they've been installed, and what have you seen since installing the body cams?
They've been a tremendous asset for us. And I think that in today's day and time, I don't know how you can operate without them. We were fortunate in the aspect that going back to 1997, we always had in-car cameras. So we were maybe not always recording the video part of it, especially if you stepped away from the vehicle, but we were at least getting the audio part of it. And that was a tremendous benefit. And now that we've totally migrated towards full body cams, it has paid off in dividends, and it's really been a benefit for us.
You know, there was a time years ago when I guess the first in-car cameras were installed that you guys had to save a lot of tape, probably file drawers or closets full of tape. But now everything is stored online somewhere in some kind of outer space Dropbox.
Yes, I can remember endless rows of VHS tapes. And I mean, it was, I want to say, over 10,000 at one time. So
wow. It
was quite a few. But, you know, as you have retention period rolls off, I think we've done away with most of those as time has allowed us to get rid of them. And now, fortunately, we can store everything electronically. So it's a huge, huge benefit.
And all those videos from the in-car cameras today and the body cams, those are stored, what, how many, a year, 2 years?
It just different retention periods. So for something that's an accident, you can do it in a matter of days. I say a matter of days, it's a little bit longer than that. But then you have 396 days for some things, and then evidence you keep forever, especially when it depends on the case. So it just depends on the circumstances. The officers have different abilities to, different ways to log their video footage, and that will impact the retention period for those particular items.
Right. And Axon will send out an email and let you know if a video is scheduled for deletion. And so, like Chief had mentioned, if a detective or is working on a case and they need that video, you know, they can put restrictions for that video not to be deleted. So.
So they can basically build case files with the video retention, for lack of better words. It's an evidence management system, and they can pull those videos into those folders, and then they're protected because you have cases that go on forever. You have appeals, you have other things that occur that require you to keep those videos for a lengthy period. You have severe crimes, homicides, things like that, where you always want to maintain that evidence.
Again, Murfreesboro Police on air with us this morning. You can text us questions at 615-893-1450, and we'll try to get to your questions or all of them if we can. But in cases where you do have these new body cams, have you had any situations where someone would call the police department and complain about an officer, and then you pulled up the video from whatever the case was and found out, well, actually that officer was extremely polite to you and nothing really went wrong?
Yeah, so I know I can't point out a specific example, but I know cases like that have occurred. I can remember a case when we got the in-car cameras where that happened on more than one occasion. But yeah, that does occur. You know, we try to address every complaint that we get. We review footage, we look at other evidence and things like that before we come to our conclusions. But yeah, there's been times where officers have been proven to not be in the wrong in certain situations, and that's a big plus.
And oftentimes, you know, people think of body cams as catching an officer doing bad, but these body cam are showing the good that officers do every single day, the positive. We've started a segment called Body Cameras in Action that's showing the good stuff that officers do on a daily basis. And I'm telling you, there is way more good than anything bad to ever happen with their daily interaction with the general public in Murfreesboro.
You know, I remember maybe a few months back, you shared a video in social media, and it was an officer who got out of their car and was pushing a man who was in a wheelchair across the street because he was trying to get somewhere. But, you know, it's those simple things that really make a difference, I think.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, unfortunately, the complaint component is something that we have to deal with, and we deal with it thoroughly. But like Larry said, there's a lot of good that we can capture. And remember that one of the key reasons to have these cameras is it lets officers capture incidents, things like that. It helps them with their prosecution and helps them preserve evidence on video that they need, like I said, to bring cases to court.
And here's another question asking, when you pull a car over, can you tell the difference between CBD and actual marijuana during a stop of a vehicle? How do you tell the difference between CBD and marijuana? I guess there's a legal version and there's a non-legal version.
And the big, I think, probably what the caller's getting at is so if you walk up to a vehicle and you detect the odor of marijuana, which you believe to be marijuana, that you can have probable cause to search that vehicle. And the smell is the smell, and it may be difficult to distinguish that, but it still allows that officer to make a search in those cases, because just by smell alone, they're not going to be able to make a distinction.
I guess they'd have to send it off to the DPI
Right. You'd have to do more to have it analyzed, different products like that.
Here's another question, kind of a long one. It says, hello, I was wondering, what is the proper way to report a drunk driver when you're driving down the interstate or down a road? Because I found myself in the situation and wanted to follow the car, but I felt like it was unsafe. So I called 911, but not sure that anything ever happened to the person driving that vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. Do not follow the vehicle or try to keep up with it, especially if they're driving fast or erratically. Best thing you can do is exactly what the caller described, is get a description, try to get a tag number, give your current location, direction of travel, and report it. And then hopefully up the road, somebody will be able to intervene on the law enforcement end and get the vehicle stopped.
This next question here, it kind of reminds me of those Ring doorbell cameras and what people see and report with those, because if you have a Ring camera system or a Blink camera system, you often see people write things in your neighborhood of like, you know, my car was stolen yesterday, or my car was broken into the other day, and so on. It's an endless list of what neighbors write on there, half of which I wonder if it's really true, because if you read some of that, you would think there's crime everywhere nonstop. But it's asking, with that being said, how do you go about finding out what's true and what's not true, and how do you go about reporting a potential high crime area and asking police to come to their area, because I didn't know how much crime was in my neighborhood until it was too late?
Well, that's a lot. Let's see. All right. So one of the biggest things that we've seen, and I'm going to give you the long version, so please bear with me. So the long version is at one time we had our neighborhood watches. We had our groups like that, organized neighborhood efforts to combat crime, to report crime to police, and to come up with solutions in particular neighborhoods. We've seen that migrate into more of a social media neighborhood type groups. And unfortunately, one of the issues with that is a lot of times if a crime happens or something occurs, everybody will run to social media and talk about it, but nobody's telling us. So we encourage that the easiest way you can use our non-emergency line if you have issues to report a specific crime, unless it's a crime in progress or something that you think warrants a 911 call, if you think there might be somebody may be in danger, things like that. So those are the traditional ways of reporting. If you want to go beyond that, you can also contact our public relations section. And right now it's Sergeant Amy Denton. She's going to be moved. She recently got promoted, so she'll be moving out of that section, but she is still a contact for that particular group, and she can talk to you about neighborhood initiatives, crime prevention, those type of things.
You know, when it comes to those neighborhood Facebook pages, there are people in neighborhoods who purposely put stuff on there that's not true just to kind of rile everybody up.
Yeah, and I think in some cases, and I think we see that a lot, it's probably not a total lie, but maybe it's just misinformation,
right,
a improper interpretation of something that may or may not have occurred. Yeah, so a lot of times I think it's just people probably jumping to conclusions. But like I said, those neighborhood social media pages are a great tool to keep everybody abreast of what's going on in their neighborhoods, and it's a great way to communicate back and forth. So, I think they're pretty effective in their ways. But like I said, you just have to make sure the information you share is accurate and true and correct. And if you have any questions, you can call us and we can verify or not verify.
Again, with us this morning, we have Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen and also PIO Larry Flowers, Public Information Officer. Had another question here. Unless Larry, were you going to say something about?
No, just what Chief was talking about in terms of these Ring neighborhood apps and things like that. Sometimes people will see a lot of emergency vehicles in their neighborhood and they automatically jump to conclusion thinking something bad happened. It could be a medical call. And oftentimes, even on medical calls, we're responding, the fire department is responding, so therefore you may see 10 vehicles in your neighborhood, but that doesn't necessarily mean something bad happened in terms of crime. It could be something as simple as a medical call. And I remember you reaching out one time where somebody had reported a peeping Tom in the window.
Yeah. And posted a video and everything.
Right, exactly. But that person never even called police until like the next day. And it turns out the guy was walking through the neighborhood. He wasn't up in the window looking in. He just passed by and stopped. And so that's the type of things you get. Whenever we see something like that, you know, I think our detectives are even, you know, monitoring that. Our crime data analysts, you know, will monitor those type things and see if there's any validity to it.
You know, I once lived in a neighborhood for a very short time with an HOA, and they had one of those Facebook groups.
Right.
And the things that you would see on there day after day, humorous at times, it was really like some folks were trying to stir the pot in some way and embellishing every little thing that occurred to make it much bigger than what it was.
Yeah, it's funny. One of my neighbors sent me a photo saying, hey, there's a cat burglar at your house, but it was actually a cat. So so I thought that was funny, kind of humorous.
It's great what you read on it. Social media is great for a laugh. Here's another question.
Sorry, Larry. And, I didn't laugh. Oh. I was looking at my phone. I'm going to give you a sympathy laugh there.
This other question is asking, what, if anything, are police doing about cleaning up homeless camps in our area?
Matter of fact, Scott, I went out with our host team, our homeless outreach support team a couple of weeks ago, and that team does a tremendous job working with our homeless community. They meet every morning, 8 a.m., outside of the Journey Home. And whenever they get complaints, especially about camps that's on private property, and that's what a lot of people are not realizing. A lot of these camps are on private property, and when these property owners contact police, our host team will go and do their best to get that property cleaned up. There was one over near the Greenway that was on private property. The property owner, you know, asked for assistance. Our host team was able to get those people out, and then the private property owner actually went to the expense themselves to clean up all of the debris. The city responded to another one near the railroad tracks by Journey Home. They recently cleaned that one up. So they're working really, that team works really hard with making sure that these camps, you know, are not on private property and things of that nature. But we also have our mental health co-responders that ride along with that host team. And just the success that team has had with helping people get, you know, homes, you know, helping people get off the streets. Literally, I was baffled to see them at work, to actually physically go and see them in action. It's unbelievable what this team has done. Even on our website, we have a host webpage with all the resources that any homeless person or any unsheltered person would need. So it's truly a blessing that you know, our chief had the forethought to decide that we needed to really, you know, reach out to our unsheltered community here in Murfreesboro, and with the creation of this unit.
You know, in nearby Nashville, and I'm not throwing Nashville under the bus, but a couple of years ago, they responded to several different homeless camps in a very harsh manner that really upset a lot of people. But I don't see that type of response by police at all here in Murfreesboro. It is a much more humane approach. And Larry, like you were saying, trying to get people into shelter as opposed to simply pushing them away and off property.
And again, I want, before the new gym that's in the old Kroger on Middle Tennessee, the homeless people had gathered there, made a camp there. That's private property. So therefore, we can't just go in, you know, and dismantle that camp. What we have to do is contact the owner of the property. They have to, you know, trespass the people. Then therefore, after that, we give them notice. Hey, the property owner says, you know, you guys have to get off their property. And so that's what will happen. We'll give them opportunity to leave that private property and then work on the cleanup of all of the debris that they leave behind. So I think we try to do it in a humane way. And again, Scott, you would be amazed with the work that this host team, you know, does in our city.
And I bet it's hard to get through to some property owners, especially if it's a big commercial property. You probably have to go down several different avenues just to get them to call you back. So that can be tough.
They reach out to us.
Oh, do they?
Literally. Even if it's private property where it may be, it appears that it's in a wooded area, off Joby Jackson Parkway, there was a homeless camp behind the Ross and all of that. We ended up going in, working with the property owner, and I think they've built there's a new construction that was being built back there. So they wanted, you know, the homeless community off their property, and we helped them and offered each one of those people who were in that camp services, you know, through volunteer behavior health care systems, who also sends out a worker with our host team.
Again, Murfreesboro Police in studio with us this morning. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll try to get to your text message, so just bear with us. 8:45 right now is the time. Again, we will be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come shop with my family at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. 94% of pet owners say their pet makes them smile daily. Return the favor and come find the things that make your pet smile here at Animal City. If you like pictures of adorable pets like we do, we invite you to check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Animal City. Please come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
If you're not waking up to the wake-up brew, here's what you've been missing.
Did you know I can make noise with my left eye?
I was trying to get it on the microphone.
Oh, you did.
Weekday mornings from 6 until Swap and Shop.
By growing up in the restaurant business and being always around it, it was just something that was just second nature to me. I didn't realize the amount of work that was involved in it. I didn't understand and appreciate all that my parents sacrificed in order to provide for us. And now I'm very thankful and I'm very appreciative of the foundation that they laid for me so we could teach others to create what they have done to make it more of a legacy than just a passing of the torch.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant.
CBS News Brief. 30 minutes to go until Nikki Haley's expected to announce she's suspending her race for the GOP presidential nomination after winning just one state on Super Tuesday. CBS's Jennifer DePinto says it doesn't mean she'll back Donald Trump.
In North Carolina, a potential battleground state in the fall, just 1 in 5 of her voters say they will support the GOP nominee no matter who it is.
President Biden facing growing protests over the war in Gaza. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Look at Minnesota last night. 20% of the primary voters there on the Democratic side voted uncommitted. That's bigger than the number that voted uncommitted in Michigan the week before, even though that was much more organized.
Lawmakers in Alabama hope to give final approval to legislation protecting IVF providers like Michael Alamond after the state Supreme Court ruled frozen embryos are children.
It's been hard on the physicians, hard on the staff, hard on everyone involved in the care, and most especially hard on the patients.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Right now that time, 8:48. This morning we have guests from the Murfreesboro Police Department that include the Chief, Michael Bowen, and also Public Information Officer, Larry Flowers. And before we get to some of these extra questions that were texted to us this morning, the real-time crime center is something that is in progress, and is that all underway, and what's the correct title for it?
Yeah. All right. Can I go totally off track for just two
sure.
seconds? All right. Hey, the question about canines came up earlier, so we're at 9 now, potentially looking at a 10th. I don't ever see us going past that. And then the capabilities for those animals is very different, from tracking to explosive detection to trailing to patrol type work. So that we have a pretty broad diverse group of working canines that are geared towards different things, and also to go hand in hand with that earlier caller was talking about an officer being able to walk up to a car to tell. I thought it was more of a, hey, can you detect a smell difference between like hemp products and
yeah, I don't know if they smell different.
Yeah. So, and I was going to bring that up in relation to canines. So even nowadays, we don't even train our dogs for marijuana detection. We because of the because of the overlap there, we just want to be make sure that we're detecting what we're trying to find, illegal drugs, things like that. So we don't even train for that. Older dogs may have that ability. Maybe one of them does. But as far as the newer generations of dogs, we're not even doing that because of the confusion between the hemp products and the actual marijuana. So I just wanted to clarify that.
It's almost more so a legislative issue of laws because
yeah.
there's nothing – you know, we're kind of in a middle of what to do zone with possible legislation soon passing to legalize marijuana.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of
there's a lot of hemp products out there, just, you know, from rope to soaps, and it's just a lot of things out there right now. And I think that right now, like you said, we're kind of in a state of transition with legislative initiatives, practical initiatives on how to address some of these issues. But it'll get worked through, and it's something I know that a lot of attention is being paid to these issues.
There's even hardwood flooring made out of hemp.
You
can get it all.
Yeah. So I just want to clarify that. Now, going to the crime center, we call it a real-time crime center. And all that means is that you're getting information in real time. It's not something that you have to research. It's all fed into a location to where you can have direct access to it. So this has been an initiative we've been working on for several years, and we're starting finally to see all of the pieces being put into place. And remember, and I've spoken about it before, it's a combination of cameras, LPRs, and ShotSpotter type technology. We have LPRs installed at various locations without the city. And if there's any questions or concerns about that.
What are LPRs?
License plate readers. They're displayed at various places throughout the city. And online, we have a section dedicated to the Real-Time Crime Center and what we are actually trying to accomplish by having that. So the LPR technology is up. We are in the process of installing public safety camera systems, and those are just what they imply. They're just video systems that we're putting in various locations throughout the city. We're not doing anything covert. They're marked. It's, hey, here's a camera, so there's nothing hidden. And those things have limited access through the department, so basically we can use them to investigate a crime. We don't do random searches. Very few people have access to those systems. And the big goal is that they'll help us with solvability and a lot of things. I know Governor Lee introduced his crime grant, and we did apply for some more LPR technology and more cameras to that grant. It was an interesting point. Last time I was here, one of your callers brought up the fact, well, these grants, sometimes they have a end cost. And I just want to reemphasize that anytime grant funding is available, we look at the benefits of the grant, what it will allow us to do, and the long-term cost to the taxpayer. So that's always taken into consideration. And I appreciate that caller last time I was here pointing that out. But that is something that we do look at. I would encourage everybody to visit our webpage, look at the LPR system and the different things we're putting in place. And like I said, there's frequently asked questions, but I've had people call me with additional questions, so don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call.
With those license plate readers, it's interesting technology because when they first came out, I recall somebody called the station, maybe it was on the air, asking, well, what if the police car is driving through a parking lot of an apartment complex and it picks up a license plate because it stores, I guess, all the license plates that it reads, and that license plate belonged to somebody who shouldn't have been at that apartment complex with a girlfriend when they were married. The question was asking, well, what do you do with that information, and who is able to see it? As crazy as that sounds.
When they read a tag, they have been entered into that NCIC system. So a couple that's doing some things they shouldn't be done don't have to worry unless they've been involved in criminal activity and reported to that NCIC system.
Right. So, yeah, there is a sheet. And by law, we are allowed to keep that information for 90 days. Okay. We keep it for 30 because what we do is, like I said, there's a list, and it's just not random searches of that. And remember, when we use LPR technology, we're tracking vehicle descriptions, vehicle tags. We're not tracking individuals in those vehicles. So just always remember that. We don't keep it more than 30 days. And like I said, there's comparable sheets. If there's stolen vehicles, silver alerts, things like that, the vehicles or the LPR systems will pick up on that and alert an officer or alert communications, the crime center, whoever it may be, that vehicle has been detected in that particular location. So there again, we've used it towards crime solvability, and it's been pretty successful for us.
Right.
Another question we had here, and I believe I read this one to you when we were on that last break, and it was about crime, but it basically said something about, I'm thinking about moving to the area, and in looking at Facebook, it proved not to be very helpful in telling me how much crime was in Murfreesboro. Now, that's not exactly what it said, but something along those lines.
Yeah. And we're going to get back to the, that individual. I apologize for skipping over you and getting misdirected there for a minute. But you can go to our webpage, and there we have TBI Crime in Tennessee reports. So we have them for Larry's count right now, last 6 years, that compare all the cities in Tennessee and show what their crime statistics look like. I can tell you, just from a city our size in Tennessee, we're not crime-free by any means. We have our issues, and as we grow, that'll be something that we'll continue to see. And big thing, I don't have any specific crime rates in front of you, but that TBI report should be able to help a lot. But we're a pretty good city when it looks at crime rates, things like that. Not perfect by any means, but definitely a good city, and one I hope my kids stay to live in and raise their families at some point in time. But a lot of good things going on in Murfreesboro, but like I said, we do have our issues, and unfortunately that's why you see us doing things like the crime center, just to make sure that we stay in front of things and that we can make this a safest community that we can.
Another question here, I would say probably involves domestic violence, and it's asking, how does the police department enforce orders of protection?
The orders of protection have specific information in those. Typically, it depends. If you get called to a scene of domestic violence and the perpetrator's there, you can actually make an arrest on those type orders, or you may have situations where something has already occurred where somebody comes and report those crimes to us. And you can look at the information contained in those orders, and if you need to take out paperwork for a subsequent prosecution, you can. But domestic violence cases, all those are taken extremely seriously, and there's pretty stringent rules in place to make sure that we're doing all we can to keep victims in those cases safe. There's different ways of doing it, and it's determined whether you're on the scene, whether it's an after-the-fact type thing, or we need to do some type of a paperwork before we can make arrests, things like that. So a lot of variables.
Again, Murfreesboro Police with us this morning, and we are already out of time. Thank you both for joining us, and if anybody has any questions for police, I guess first go to the Murfreesboro Police website, and then that will hopefully steer you in the right direction.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
There are many reasons people select Adams Place.
We went to see 7 different places.
And he asked his kids,
okay, where do you think we should go? And the kids said, Adams Place. Why? The people looked active and alert. The only place that had a pool, and they had water aerobics. Turned out to be something I really, really enjoy.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.